Poker of World. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet. And yesterday, we got up to, we finished the first two words on that line, and we were talking about the din of Gardumim. Gardumim, remember we had B'nai Rebbe Chia that said that as long as you have stubs of the threads that were in the Tcheles, the Psilei of the, when I say Tcheles in that context, I mean, in your tzitzit, as the Gemara often refers to tzitzit as trelet. If you have leftover stubs, that would also be kosher. And that yesterday, we saw that that seems to imply, said, at least this is the way that Rava seemed to conclude, that that implies that you absolutely must have at least that knot at the top. The top meaning as you're holding the tzitzit up and you're making a tzitzit, but at the top, you've got the knot that has been going to hold it all together. Because if you don't have a knot there, so then you can't possibly have gardumim, because the whole thing is going to fall apart. And therefore, there must be a case where you've got a knot, even if that lower braid falls apart, you've got a knot behind it, which means that you must have a knot on every single chulia. A chulia was one of the, what would you call it? Gosh, I don't know. I'd say the chulia is where you've wrapped around the p'til, either the lavan or the t'chelet, or the mixture. I don't know how you would say that in English, but anyway, one of the forms. So you've got the knots, and then you have the chulia, which you've wrapped, and then you have a knot again. So apparently you have more than one knot, because otherwise wouldn't the whole thing fall apart? So on that, the Gemara answered yesterday, the first two words on the line over here, that maybe it's talking about not that you have to have it, but maybe Rabbi Chiya's, B'nai Rabbi Chiya was talking about where you did have it. So there's nothing in there that implies that you absolutely must have it. Now, another thing that Rabbi said, it's because of that ve'amar, some change it to Rava, not Rabbi, is that Shmamina Kesher Elyon Dioraita. It seems to be from here that from the following piece, that Kesher Elyon, meaning whatever that upper knot is, doesn't necessarily mean the upper knot, but it means that there's got to be a knot somewhere along the line of where you put your tzitzit in, because if there's no knot, so then the Yisak HaDaitach Derabonam, my Yitzchak L'mishrei Sadin B'tzitzit. Why in the world would we need a pusik to tell me that tzitzit is going to be docher the din of kilayim? There is no din of kilayim, because Yisak HaDaitach Derabonam, if you're telling me you don't really have to tie it at all, then just put your tzitzit in. There's no iser of putting in a linen thread into wool if it's not sewn. Now, in order for it to be sewn, it has to go in and out and make a stitch. In this case, if you're just putting them in loosely, there is no stitch because it's not going to be tight. And if it's only necessary to tie it, midrabanan, don't tie it in a case where you have a sadin. Sadin would mean that it's made out of linen. We call it even today linens, right? Bedding and linens. So if you've got linen, a linen sheet, then you could certainly just put in your treles through the holes in the corner, and you don't have to tie it. And then it would not be kilayim. Kilayim doesn't mean they're just together. Kilayim means they have to be actually sewn together. So then, of course, pshita. Because hatokif tkifa achas enochibo. If you just put threads in loosely, that's not called a stitch. And therefore, it wouldn't be an iser. The very fact that the Torah has to tell you that in order to put chelet in your tzitzit, you've got to be over on this iser of gedilim ta'aselach, and therefore puts the two together, must mean that the way that you're putting it together is bedavka in this fashion, that it is going to cause kilayim, which means it's got to be tight. That's what I see from there. Omar Rabba bar Ada Omar of Ada Omar Rav. If that upper thread, now that's the psil that went through the beged, and it's near the actual hole that went through the beged, that you put the tzitzit through. So if you do that, you put the tzitzit through the hole, and it tore before that knot. So then that means that you really don't have your full four tzitzit being bent into two, into eight through that knot, because one of them is nifsak. Now, you might have thought that since it's all held in place by the knot that has to be there anyway, which we just learned, it would be kosher, because it doesn't really make any difference if it's torn or not in this case, because it's all going to be held up by the majority of the tzitzit that are there. Nonetheless, Rav said that if it was torn, the whole thing is possible. Yes, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman was saying this over, and he said it over the way we just said it, that namely, it was Omer Rav Hada, Omer Rav, right? And actually, Eisvei Rav Alu Rav Nachman. How can Rav say this? When do we say that tzitzit have to have that shear? Now, we haven't gotten to that yet. But we've spoken about it, we mentioned it in passing, that there's a yud beit etzba'ot, 12 etzba'ot that are meant to be there in the tzitzit. When do we say this? The Brisa continues. When do we say that minimum shear? That's only betchilato, when you first make your tzitzit. But b'sofo, if you made it correctly, and now it tore, well, that's not a problem, because that is shiarav. Now look at these words, shiarav ve'gardumav. Now, what are those two things exactly? I mean, the gardumim, I always understood as being the leftover threads. So those are whatever stubs remain of the original threads. Here it says, whatever remains and or gardumav, right? So tell me what the difference is. My shiarav, my gardumav, and I would assume that the only two meanings could be one to cover the case that we just spoke about, and that would be shiarav, the ifsik minayu. It's talking about where it was cut through, what we were just talking about over here, and whatever is left on the bottom, but the part of the tzitzit were left, which is the case we just spoke about. One of the chutim was torn at the hole where it was inserted into the baguette, right? And what's the case of gardumav? Gardumav was talking about where it was igardum and gardune. So that would be the case that we had about whether it's torn off at the bottom. Okay, that would mean that there's just some minimal amount. Okay, and that would mean that the Baraita is saying in either of those cases, it's kosher. And Rav just said that it's pasul in the case if it was nifsak right at the top where it goes through the hole. No, said Rav Nachman, I wouldn't say that that Baraita means that. Maybe it's actually all one thing. Maybe what it's referring to is the fact that shiurei gardumav. And it's like, this would say gardumav. So you would think that that means that there's no shear at all. Remember, we said that there is a shear. The shear is the kidei aniva, that you have to be able to make that little knot at the end. So maybe that's good for what it's coming to say. Shiurei gardumav kosher is a little tiny bit, but it is a shirai. It's not nothing. So it's basically going to be, the as we said, yeah, it's almost nothing, because it's just enough to tie a one-time, slip knot, I guess call it. And that is what it's coming to be. You shouldn't think it's kosher with nothing left. But Enochinami, what Rav said is true. If it's torn right there at that place where it goes through, then that would be pasul. So then, why don't you just say gardumav? Why do you mention shiarav? Because that's what I'm telling you. Because otherwise somebody would think you don't need anything. So kakamashman, that you do need some small shirayim, shiurav, to the gardumav, and that was kedeilatam, like we said, just to put a little knot in them. Anyway, so Rabba was saying over another thing here, in the name of Rav, and he said, the chut shel kerach ole min haminyan. So remember that we've got one, what we do is we take one of the threads that are put through the hole, we make it longer, we call that one the shamash, which is used to wrap around the other threads, right? Now, when it comes to tchelet, you've got two of those. You have one of tchelet and one of lavan that are left longer. And then we alternate. We're going to see how we alternate. We alternate one with the other. So what basically Rav was quoted as saying over here was that whatever thread you're going to use, it doesn't come from the outside. It's one of those eight hanging threads, which are the four that were passed through the hole. And one of those, if it's Tchelet, and one of those, if it's Lavan, or if you only have the Lavan, then just obviously one of Lavan, is used to circle the other ones, but it counts to the minion of the Tzitzit. Omale Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said to Rav, excuse me, you're quoting that in the name of Rav. I happen to know that Rav didn't say that. It was Shmuel who said that. And Itmanami, we actually have that statement that was given over from Shmuel, that Omar Rabba Bar Bar Kona, Sachli Rabbi Yoshia de Minusha, that Chut Shel Kerech Olela Min Aminyan, exactly what we had just attributed to Rav. Now we have the opposite situation, where something that was said by Rav was quoted in the name of Shmuel, and there too, people were careful to set them straight. Because Yosef Rabba, I should say, was sitting and saying over the name of Shmuel, that Tchelet Shekarach Ruba Ksheira. This means Tchelet does not mean Tchelet, means Tzitzit. So if the Tzitzit were turned mostly into a Gedil, so we're going to say that we're supposed to split it up by one-third and two-third. One-third is supposed to be the Gedil, which is the part that we make the circles around the Chuliot, and the other two-thirds is supposed to be loose hanging threads, which we have at the end. But what if you did it the other way? What if you made the gedil, which is braided, the part that is wrapped around, you made most of it, let's say two-thirds of it in the other direction, right? Two-thirds of it that was the gedil, and then you had one-third that were the petilim. That is kosher. And he said that in the name of Shmuel. So Rabbi Yosef corrected him by saying, no, you got that wrong. It was actually Rav that said that, and not Shmuel. And here too, we have corroboration from outside. Itmanani, Omar Ravuna Bar Yehuda, Omar Sheshes, Omar Yirmiyah Barava, Omar Rav, Tchelet Shekorach Ruba Kesheru. We don't have a similar limud from Shmuel. Now, let's take a look at that more closely. As Reb Chiya Bereder of Nosson said it a little bit different. He said, Omer of Huna, Omer of Sheshes, Omer of Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Omer Rav, Tchelet Shel Korach Ruba Kesheira. Okay, that we saw. So if you have most of it, we talked about a case where it would be two-thirds. Now, most of it, that was in a braid, in the Gedil. That's what we call the Korach Ba, wrapped it. So that would be kosher. Now, the truth is that Afilu Korach Ba L'chulia Achat Kesheira. The truth is that even though you're supposed to make this, as we'll see, in various churiot and with different knots in between them and so on. But nonetheless, if all you have is one churiot, we're going to see later on, that one churiot is simply three in circles. So you use that shamash to go around it three times, and then you knotted it. That would be okay. That doesn't look very much like the tzitzit you're used to looking at, but it has gedil. So it's got a portion that's braided, and that braid could consist of just three krachim and a knot, and that would be fine, even though it's only chuya achat. Now, the nice way of doing it, the no ye techelet, again, techelet over means your tzitzit. The nice way of doing your tzitzit is to make one-third of it a gedil, which is the part that is wrapped around, and two-thirds of it should be just loose fringes. That's the anaf that we call. When you say a chulia, you didn't really define, well, what is a chulia? I mean, I don't know, maybe a chulia is a whole third, for heaven's sakes. Maybe it's 20 times to circle it, no? Tanya Rebbe Omer, a chulia is three times. Kedei sheyichroch, v'yishaneh, v'yishalesh. You do it once, you do it again, you do it a third time, and that is sufficient. Tanya, hapochet lo yitchot misheva. Now, there's a whole question over here, what are we referring to? The simple meaning of the Gemara is that we are referring to the number of chuliot, not referring to the number of twists that we make in that chulia. So we're going to see that there are others that learn that this is a reference to the twists in the chulia, and then that became also a minhag to be doing it that way. Now, let's make one thing clear. All of these discussions that we're about to have are not about tzitzit, they're about tchelet in the tzitzit. So up until now, when we use the word tchelet, we were referring to tzitzit as a general term, as tchelet. But now, these dinim are special dinim that have to do specifically with tchelet. And why is that? Because remember, the beautiful medrash that says that the tchelet, that organism down at the bottom of the sea, in an octopus's, an octopus, oh heck, I forgot my Beatles, how do you like that?
Octopus's garden.
An octopus's garden. So you got that beautiful garden down at the bottom of the sea, you take it out of the sea, and it turns this beautiful color of the sky, out of the sea, turn into the sky, and not just the sky, but the edge of space, so it's considered to be a remez to the universe as a whole, that's the Kiseh HaKavod, that is above what we generally see in our lives, and it's a beautiful remez to the Rekia. So it goes all the way up to the sky, so to speak, right? So therefore, the remezim that we want to make in those, whether it's the number of chuliot or in the number of twists, as we'll talk about, those are, should be merames and remind us of the way that we envision the heavens. You know? So this is something like an inverse Dante, right? So how many heavens do we have? Well, you talk about seventh heaven and Shangri-La. Okay. So therefore you should have at least seven. And if you're going to have at least those seven, so that means the minimum would be three. And the, you should make seven and you should make. Yeah, I mean, again, these are noyim. They're not going to be ma'akev, but it would be nice to make seven chuliot because of the seven heavens that the Gemara goes through in Chagiga. V'hamosif lo yosif al shalosh esrei. You shouldn't make more than 13 chuliot. Why do I say this? Because apochet lo yivchot b'sheva. That would be the sheva rikiin. And the mosif lo yosif al shalosh esrei, because if you include in the sheva rikiin, the area that's between each rekia of the rekia, so you have shiva rekiin, and the shisha blank spaces, so to speak, avirin, that are beneyam. So since the tchelas is berames to the shamayim and the kiseh hakoved, so we should make either seven or between 7 and 13, but of course, this was nogeya tchelas. It's not nogeya the lovan. Nonetheless, people started making the lavan with these same remazim. And so there's all kinds of different minhagim in how it is they do that. As you know, some people make it keneged the shemot Hashem, you know, instead of yud kei vav kei. The others have, so you have one of 10 and then one of 5 and then one of 6. Some people do that. Some people have the remez of 7, 8, 11, 13. And that's because of the 7, that's connected to Shiva Rekiyim, but the 8 together, 7 and 8 together, make the 15, which is connected to Shem Yud K, and then you make Yud Aleph, another Yud Aleph, and that equals together 26, which is connected to the Yud K Vav K, and then you have, anyway, those are the, then you make the 13, which is connected to spaces, including the spaces in the Rekiyim, Hakol B'Seder. So, whatever the particular minhag is, obviously none of this is ma'akev in any way. They're all just remuzim. Originally, these remuzim were made specifically in terms of the tchelas and the idea of using it to include even the lavan. That's a minhag bi'alma, and therefore none of this would be ma'akev. Tana kishu matchil b'lavan. When you start making your circles, make the first circle with the white. Why is that? Because remember, tzitzit hakanaf comes first. Okay, so you put the tzitzit in the kanaf, but that means the tzitzit, which are like the kanaf, which is the mina kanaf, always when we refer to the beged, we're assuming that the beged is simply a white beged. And the same thing is true. And then it says, al tzitzit hakanaf til tchelet. So start with the lavan, and then go on with the tchelet. And then, when you finish, the last time that you make this is really machlokas, but this is the way the Rambam learns, the last time that you encircle it, you use the white thread, Now, others learn that this is a reference not to the particular circles of the thread, but to the entire chulia. So they alternate chulias. Here you have a chulia of lavan and a chulia of treles, and not that the actual circles. It's actually the Rambam. No, it's funny. Let me show you the Rambam. I'm sure you're familiar with it. So this Rambam tzitzis, which is the minhag of the Teimanim, I'm sure as you've seen. So the minhag of the Teimanim is to do it like the Rambam and to use 13 chuliot. So there's 13 of these. It's a little difficult to get to count in that camera image. However, it's interesting that this is not really kosher. Well, I should say kosher. It's kosher. It's not really the noy according to the Rambam, the way he brings it. Let me get it against my shirt, which is easier to see than against my beard. Too much lavan there. Okay. So if you take a look at the way that this is made, you see that the closing circle is lavan right there at the end, at the uppermost. It's lavan. And the opening circle right there, not the whole chulia, just the first circle, is lavan. Then that lavan is followed by two threads to make one chulia, chulia of three. And that's followed by two threads of treles. Then all the rest of the chuliot are made of treles. The lavan here is not a circle. The lavan that you're seeing is the threads of the tzitzit underneath that are encircled by these chuliot. And these chuliot are made that they're not connected to each other, and there's no knot between them. You see? So that, and according to it, it's not referring to the knots, the number of knots that you make. So the actual knot, there's only a knot that goes on top, which is strange because the Rambam himself says that the way to make it is to make that first chulia and then knot it, not to make the knot and then the chulia. So I don't know how this particular minhag came about, but even the other, there's another minhag HaTeimanim that have seven of those blue chuliot. This one had 13, and that was, you know, the same variation. Lo pachot misheva, lo yoter mishloshesh. Some make the lo pachot, and some make the lo yoter. That's how the Rambam brings it. But it certainly does not fit the Rambam as we have it. So I don't know. I haven't seen any of the Teimani. I tried to find Teimani Pirushim that would talk about why they do it otherwise. But, I mean, to read the halacha in the Rambam, he says it very straightforward. Lokeach chut echad min halavan, v'korech bo kricha achat al shar hachutim, b'tzad habeged, towards the beged, u'menicho. Leave the one white thread hanging down, and then lokeach chut hatchelet. He's talking about the longer chutim that you left longer, which was the chut ha-tchelet. According to Rambam, remember, there's only one chut ha-tchelet, which means there's only a half of the four, one half of one of the four that is tchelet. So that gives you one of the eight threads is tchelet. So you take the tchelet now, the korech po shtei krichot b'tzad ha-kricha shalavan, the kosher. That's where you make your knot. The Elu HaShalosh HaKrichot that we just said, together, Hema Nikraim Chulia. Then, listen to his Lashon, Umarchik Ma'at. Now that's where that comes from in the Teimani. You don't put one Chulia next to the other Chulia, but rather you make a little bit of a distance, which is why the way that they make the knot is they put it through itself so that it will stay there instead of moving up and down loosely. So you're marchik ma'at, you make a little bit of a distance, and then oseh chulia shniya entirely b'chut shel tchelet, kulot. So the Rambam takes this very clearly as referring to the number of chuliot. A chulia is three threads, and when it says over here, specifically when you start with the white because of hakanaf, min kanaf, and when you end with the white. That means on the very last chulia, the last time that you go around with a lavan, and you, because, why do you do that? Because ma'alin b'kodesh v'lo moridi. If the Torah was makpid on the kanaf, So then that means that that's the ikrak part of the Torah. So then we start with that. The Tcheles becomes like a remez to the Shemayim in between. And then we don't go down after we started with Lavan. We can't end with Tcheles. So we go back and we do another Lavan at the end. So, okay, this became, as I said, very, very different minhagim as to whether it's referring to the number of knots or whether it's referring to the number of wraps in the knot. Many people, Ashkenazim, do 7, 8, 11, and 13 in terms of chuliot of those different numbers. Some of the more modern Orthodox poskim are actually machmer to do both, to make it both the number of chuliot and the number of wraps that you do within those chuliot. So that way, in the treles, the tzitziot are a little bit complex if you do it that way. It's okay. So there's many different ways, alternating chuliot, like Taisvis, maybe doing it like the Rambam, Lavan being just one time around, beginning and the end. And in terms of the number of threads, we already mentioned that there's a big machlokas haposkim, which also comes from here in the sugya about whether one out of the four threads that you put through and bend over is the thread of Treles, which is the Rivachita, or whether two out of the four are Treles, which is Tosus Hashita. Again, I'm calling it Riva and Tosus, not because they're the only ones that say it, but because that's how it's known in the marketplace. And then you have the one half of one, which gives you one out of eight threads, which is the Rambam's unique approach, and which I just showed you, Halacha L'maaseh, how he does it. Rabba Bar Chana Havei Yasve. So he was sitting on the park bench, and a guy walks by, and he's wearing very, very expensive beged, which is made entirely out of tcheles. Havikocholik v'ozol hu gavra. I mean, in those days, wearing a tcheles jacket, man, was the equivalent of wearing a boss suit 10 times over, let me tell you. I didn't even know if that brand still exists, but it used to be something. Anyway, I sometimes find myself saying anachronisms. People are looking, staring at me blankly. Oh, so I better just excuse myself. Anyway, so he walked by, and he had treles that was in his baguette. And again, that means treles as his tzitzit. He had tzitzit in this, but the tzitzit, after all, if you're going to be wearing a fancy suit like that, then you can't have these loose threads hanging out that look like a bunch of nuts with threads hanging around their clothes. So he had the whole thing braided, you know, so it looked really nice. He made the whole thing a good deal, and none of it was a petil. So Rav said, a heck of a suit, but not a heck of a tzitzis. So Yoy Glima, I got to admit, the suit's really nice, but lo Yoy Techalta, those tzitzis are not nice. And Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, what are you talking about? A beautiful suit, beautiful tchelet, perfect, what's the problem? So obviously, they're having a machlokas over here as to whether to make an entire gedil is the way that you can make your tzitzit. So what's the machlokas? So Rabba Bar Bar Chana Savar, since we have two different psukim, right? So we have the Iker in, obviously in Shlach, where we have the whole parsha of Tzitzit, the Asulahim Tzitzit, and over there, it's the, again, Al-Kanfevid Dehem, and then Al-Tzitzit HaKanaf, Tzitzit. So over there, it's all about the Petil, right? And then on the other hand, we have the other parsha in Kitetze, which is the Gedilim Taselach, and it doesn't say anything about a petil over there, and it's Gedilim Taselach HaKanfei. What happened to the petilim? So which one is it? Is it Gedilim or is it petilim? Because a petil isn't braided, and a Gedil has to be braided. So therefore, Taina's Rabba Bar Bar Chana, that means that you've got two options. You could either make a petilim or you could make Gedilim. And we'll see that each one of them is going to teach us something about the other one, but these remain options. So you can have the kind of tzitzit that you like. Whereas Rav says, no, you definitely need petilim that are loose. And gedilim, the only reason it says gedilim is not to offer you an option. It's to teach you how to understand the ptilim, because then the Torah never said how many ptilim. How many ptilim? It says, but I don't know how big they are. Now, if we find in Kitetze that the Torah refers to the tzitzit as gedilim, so then you got to ask yourself, well, how could I make gedilim out of ptilim? After all, a gedil is a braid, right? Okay, so the minimum that you could make a braid with is two. So, okay, you can make a braid of sorts, not very good. But if it says gedilim, then you've got to double braid it. So that means that those two have to be four. Ah, that's what it's coming to tell me. That you need to have these four strings, which would be roi to make a braid. So that means, but that doesn't mean that it takes over the whole patil. So patil be'in, you definitely need some of these loose threads. How many loose threads? Well, the gedilim, that's leminyana huda'ata, namely, gedil, the Torah had just written gedil, it would have meant the minimum of two threads. Right? Gedilim, then now we know that it has to be four threads. Now, what about the ptilim that it still calls it ptilim? What it means is, say gedil, upotelehu mitocho. So what that means is, make that gedil, and then, so there's a number of different ways to understand this. The potelehu mitocho would mean, that you've got ptilim that are coming out from the gedil, which of course is what you have. And the way that you would have that would be to braid it through the hole so that you now have the ptilim coming out. Or, what Tosfos understands it perhaps, is that potileo mitocho means turn it into a ptila. A ptila is how you would make a candle. So if you're potoleo, the normal way is that you don't use a single thread for petil. You have this piece on the bottom, you put the petil through it, and then you twist it on top so that you've got a thicker thread to burn your candle with. And that would mean that the lotion of the petil specifically would imply that it's put through the hole and brought out. So that there's two different issues over here. There's the threads coming out of it at the end of the braid, and there's the fact that it wasn't just first made a braid like you used to make in camp when you made the little key holders, you know, and then you tie it onto your baguette. No, you make
layards. What? Layards, right? They were called layards.
Layard, or is it Laynard? I don't know. I guess so. I thought it was with an N, but anyway. So that would mean that we've got all the Ramas in the Lashon, but they don't take each other's place. You need both Patil and Gedil. So that's why he said, I don't like those tzitzit. And that's exactly why Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, I think those are beautiful tzitzit. That's what the Machlokas is. Now, the question is here, what kind of material do you use? So, I mean, we've been talking about, we've taken for granted that we know that tchelet, by definition, is wool that has been dyed with the dam of the chilazal, not any other material. That the Gemara learns out elsewhere when we're talking about the dinim of the big day kuhuna. So by definition, it's a type of tzemer, a dyed tzemer. Now, the question is the other types of begrudding. So, I mean, it doesn't say anywhere beferish, does it, what type of clothing you're supposed to put your tzitzit on? I mean, what if you're wearing cotton? Is a cotton beged chayev in tzitzit? Is a silk beged chayev in tzitzit? So there's a number of issues to take into consideration here, because since in Kitetze, we do have the strange dinim that are put one next to the other, the lotil ba shatnez, and then it defines what is that shatnez, tzemer upishtim yachba, and then it says, so there is a connection there. I mean, we know that one aspect of that is to be matir, wearing a shkilayim in your tzitzit, if you have your tcheles, and that is wool. And if I'm using a beged, that is linen, so I'm not going to have much of a choice. I got to put wool in that beged. And we said before that that was the diak actually of Rabbah. It must be that you have to tie it, because otherwise, why would the Torah have to mention it? But the question that it raises is, well, what about other things? I understand that shatnez is tzemer upishtim. Does that mean the whole chiyuv of tzitzis is only tzemer upishtim? And let me ask you something else. If you're wearing, let's say, another beged, and let's make it cotton. So you've got cotton tzitzit. Is cotton chayav v'chlal in tzitzit? That was our first question. Now the other question is, what are the types of strings that can be used for the tzitzit in the cotton baget? Because there may be two completely different things. There may be the begadim, and then there's the tzitzit that you put into your begadim, which could be the techelet, if you're going to compare them to shatnez, could be either the techelet, which is wool, or pishtim, which would be white. Then I've got another question. Suppose you have both tzemer upishtim. Can you put the tzemer upishtim together in a beged that's a cotton beged, assuming that the cotton beged is chayim and tzitzit? Or do you say, no, well, hold on a second. I mean, the Torah said that you could be docha, the mitzvah, the isra of kilayim with your tzitzit, but that's because if you have something that you have no option, I mean, if you've got a pishtim beged, you have to put in your tcheles. So maybe that's the case that the Torah is talking about. But if you don't, you have, let's say, a beged semer. There's nothing that forces you to put a pishtim into a beged semer, is there? You could use white semer and tcheles semer in a tzemer beged and have no problem with shatnez at all. So is this shatnez means that there's no iser shatnez when it comes to tzitzit? If there's no iser shatnez, could I put both tzemer upishtim mixed into a cotton beged of tzitzit? So how far do we take this? Because remember, normally when we talk about doing something that is an iser and it's dolchanis, I mean, we have a klal that's only where there's no way to be mekayim the mitzvah unless you do the iser. But if you have an alternative, you're not allowed to do an iser in order to be mekayim. We don't say esedochalota, say if you can avoid it. And that's actually how we started the sugya today. If you don't have to tie the tzitzit, why would the Torah have to tell me that you're allowed to use a shatnez? There's no need to use shatnez at all. We took that for granted. That was the opening statement of the sugya. And we're going to see tomorrow that actually is part of the psak, how we deal with this. And therefore, the gemara that we're about to have may be completely contradicted by the gemara that we're going to have tomorrow and by the assumptions that were made at the beginning of the sugya, that semer upishtim are only meant to be used where you have no choice. Now, that's a question. Does it mean where you personally have no choice? Or where the mitzvah is defined in that way, that there's no choice, meaning that you've got a pishtin beged, and therefore the mitzvah is defined as having no choice, because you have to put in tchelet. This is what we're going to take a look at today, and then tomorrow, so don't take any conclusions from today, because according to some of the Rishonim, the sugya later on argues on this sugya, and therefore this sugya is not halacha, although we'll see, not everybody holds that. So now, question, new type of issue. What type of chutim are used for your tzitzit? So Amar Shmuel Mishmei the Levi, look, you can make your chutim out of tzemer and use that even in a beged of pishtan. And we're talking about now the lovan. We're not talking about the tcheles. So that would mean that if you have a linen beged, you could. Normally we talk about the sadin, which is, they used to wrap themselves up in a sadin, the way we use a talit, basically. That was made of literal sadin, of linen, as we even refer to it today in English. And nonetheless, he tines that you can use white threads of wool. Well, I mean, I understand that, I guess, because you have to use the tchelet threads of wool. So, I mean, if the Torah is saying you have to use the tcheles threads of wool, so then you might as well use wool for your white threads. I mean, maybe, but there's another issue over here. The other issue is, what does min knaf mean? Does min knaf mean you have to use the same material that the knaf is made out of? Because the material that the knaf is made out of here is linen. It's a pishtan. And Rishmuel is saying you can use a different type of material, which means that he apparently does not understand that min knaf demands that it be made out of the same material if you have an option to use wool. So now, why is this? How far is Shmuel ready to take this in? Shel Pishtan. He's saying Shel Tsemer can be used in Shel Pishtan. I mean, that makes a kind of sense because of the fact that you have to use the Tsemer of Tcheles in the Pishtan. But how about vice versa? How about if you have a wool baguette? Is Shmuel essentially saying, I don't care, there's no problem with Shatnez and Tzitzis, and if you're wearing a wool baguette, you could use, for no particular reason, you could use linen threads for the white in your wool. Is that what he's saying? Or maybe he's only saying that Tzemer b'shal pishtim hudepata. Maybe Shmuel only meant to say, I understand that since wool tchelet patters a linen, so okay, so that means the Torah is obviously not marked. But if you're going to be using tchelet, you might as well use wool lavan, because anyway, it's shatnez. But, I mean, he never would have gone so far as to say that for no reason at all, and we don't have any kind of tour of putting in pishtim at the tzemer, so maybe he never would have said, you can go ahead and use pishtim in tzemer. So again, two different ways of understanding this problem. Tosfos understands the problem that we're talking about to be good for this question about the Esedoch Lotasa issue. Rashi presents the entire issue, because of the Gemara later on, as being completely separate from that. And he understands that the question over here is, does min knaf mean that it has to necessarily be made out of the min knaf? Or is there no problem of min knaf if you've got a sheet of linen and you're using wool? Because anyway, obviously, the Torah says wool plays a role in pottering tzemer, so too would the white tzemer be okay to potter pishtim. Entirely a question of whether it's min knaf or not, but vice versa, if the knaf was tzemer, where did the Torah ever say that you use anything but tzemer to potter tzemer? This is how Rashi understands it. Not dealing with the question of kilayim. Or do we say that since the Torah writes, lo tilbash shatnez, tzemer pishtim yachtav, and then it immediately says, gedilim ta'asalach, then that means by definition, what are these gedilim made out of? Tzemer pishtim. Use whatever you want to use, either tzemer or pishtim. They are the universal definition of tzitzit, no matter what your baguette is made out of. I don't care if you're putting wool into linen or you're putting linen into wool. This is the din of knaf, because it says beferish that it's tzemer pishtim yachtav. Now again, according to Rashi, we're not even talking yet about the problem of the kilayim. We're only bringing in the pasuk of kilayim in order to show that you use those two species, tzemer pishtim. Just like tzemer pishtim is a din in kilayim, so too tzemer pishtim defines the nature of your tzitzit. We're not talking about a sedoch lotasa here. According to Tosfos, our main concern is the question of a sedoch lotasa, and we never thought that min knaf was going to be definitive, that it's got to be bedafka, the same type of thing. So Tashma, domer chova amre biyuda, chutei tzemer potrin shel pishtan, v'shel pishtan potrin shel tzemer. Here we have Rav Yehuda quoted as saying beferish, that it makes no difference whether it's wool in linen or even linen in wool. So in other words, according to Tosfos' pshat, this is a din in esedoch lo ta'aseh. And it's not, we're not talking about over here min knaf, which was not our problem. So what he's saying is that shatnez, the heter of shatnez, works across the board. According to Rashi, it just means we have universal tzitziot, as we're about to see. And that is chutei tzemer pishtim potrin b'chol makom. The Torah defines the meaning of tzitzit. Tzitzit are made out of either tzemer pishtim, which means I'm not defining the nature of my beged, I'm defining the nature of my tzitzit, which means that if you have a beged that's made out of cotton, or you have a beged that's made out of silk, whatever, you would use tzemer upishtim tzitzit perfectly well. And therefore, they would be pattering you afilu b'shiroim, even if you're using silk. Now, obviously, the din of min knaf is also true. In other words, if you want to use silk tzitzit for your silk baga, that's fine, because knaf would allow you to use silk. But you wouldn't be able to use silk on any other kind of baga, because tzitzit are not defined as silk. On the other hand, if you want to use cotton in silk, no good. But if you want to use wool in silk, or you want to use linen in silk, yes, good, because tzitzit are defined separately from the baga, right? Great, so we've got a standard idea of a baguette, and then its extension into its tzitzit, which is the minknaf, which is sort of the way we look at the baguette, at the tzitzit-baguette relationship, is that these are the fringes of that baguette. So there's even, we'll see, maybe even a question of whether can you use the fringes that were actually left over there in the weave of the baguette, which we'll talk about. Anyway, but this means that according to Rav Yehuda, there seems to be that your chayev in tzitzit on the shiraim. And then the question is, what do you use to potter them? But now, not everybody agrees with that, because this, actually, this Rav Yehuda is the opposite of Rav Nachman, upligat Rav Nachman. Because Rav Nachman says, there's no such thing as tzitzit on a silk baguette. There's no chiev of a tzitzit on shiraim. Shiraim are potter from tzitzit. Asks Rava, it says beferish in the Braita, Hashirain, Vahakalach, Vahasirikin, Kulam Chayavin Bitzitzit. Someone is not muted. All of these various types of silk, these are all variations on silk. I don't know who 92200, there we go. All right. All right, Mr. 922000, I assume that you're an AI, in which case you should have enough brains to shut yourself off in the first place. It would be nice if you were human, then we could excuse you and see you and be happy with your presence. But, okay. I mean, look, I suppose an AI should introduce himself. Hello, I'm Mr. 922000. May I join your Dafyomi? Why don't you give the Dafyomi? Anyway, so these are different types of silk. Shirayim is real silk. Now, as you know, real silk has to be made out of the undamaged cocoon, right? So you've got to kill the silkworm in order to make silk. So what they do is they put it into boiling hot water or something. That way it's not damaged. And then they actually unravel, incredibly, they unravel the cocoon and they get the actual silk thread off of the cocoon. It's quite astonishing to be able to mechanize a kind of thing like that. Can you imagine? You got these machines doing thousands of cocoons, unwrapping them every minute. Wow. Anyway, but that is the fanciest silk. But then, a lot of those cocoons obviously are damaged cocoons if the silkworm managed to bite its way out, and out came the actual butterfly, you know. So in that case, you could still make silk. And that's the way that much of cheaper silk is made. You use damaged cocoons and you simply mix them all together. It's the same way that you mix hair from an animal. It's exactly the same kind of process. You twist them into threads, and that way you have a cheap kind of silk. It's not, obviously, it doesn't have the same particular qualities of silk. It has better qualities in certain ways. Anyway, so that would be kalach, sirikin, where you make it into a baguette. All of those are chayav and tzitzit. This is beferish, not like Rav Nachman. Said Rav Nachman, I didn't say it wasn't chayav and tzitzit at all. I said it's not included in the dinim of the Torah. Obviously, the Chachamim said, if you're wearing a four-cornered baguette, put tzitzit on it. If it's cotton, if it's silk, I don't care. But I was just talking about the D'oraita because of the limud from the smichas to Tzemru Pishtim Yachtav. So, but in the Raisa, they were certainly not chayav. Says Rava, how can you say that? Read the rest of the brides. Hiachi emesefa, the kula, tzemer pishtim potrim bayam. You can use tzemer, you know, we thought this meant, you can use tzemer and pishtim in all of those, meaning in the silk. How can you use tzemer and pishtim in silk if tzemer and pishtim are only a derabbanan? Who is matter using tzemer and pishtim? Now, again, this is mashma. Like we saw earlier, that if it weren't for that, if it weren't for the fact that it was supposedly a derabbanan, I would have no problem in using tzemer and pishtim on silk, which is crazy. Why do I need tzemer and pishtim in silk? I thought that if you can avoid chatnas, you should avoid chatnas. Here we're saying, well, then I would understand it. How would you understand it? Again, this is going to tackle tomorrow, this problem, because obviously there's something is fishy about the whole way we're approaching the Esed Ogalot Aseh in this sugya. But anyway, so if you're going to tell me that it's a chiyuv d'oraisa and your cotton tzitzit or your silk tzitzit are real tzitzit b'oraita, I understand that I can put tzemer and pishtim in them and we're going to be matur the kilayim because the oraisa is tzitzit. You're going to tell me they're not even chayv and tzitzit. How are we being over an issur d'oraisa of kilayim in order to be matir a beggar that's only chayv and tzitzit d'rabbanan? Eichem shtari bu kilayim. Said Reb Nachman, excuse me, but I don't see that it says you can use tzemer and pishtim. It says you can use tzemer or pishtim. Vav often means that, as you know. So tzemer and pishtim, both pater, not together. I mean, it's another problem. That's kilayim. But you could use tzemer alone or pishtim alone on your cotton beggar, which is done all the time, of course, right? Now the question is, on a cotton beggar, would you be able to make kilayim? That's already obviously not, if it's not Chayav D'oraisa. As a matter of fact, don't tell me I'm giving you a hard time. This is the pashtus of the meaning of it, because look, take a look at the bright that goes on. Diktani Seifa. Hein, what about those shirayim themselves, or your cotton begotten? Can you use silk thread, or can you use cotton thread? They can, if it's the same min kanaf. So, hein b'minan potrin, if you're going to use tzitzit made out of silk, then they pater silk begotten. But you can't use silk tzitzit in any other type of baguette. Shalo b'minan ein potrin. Now, if you're telling me that this is a drabbanan, like I'm claiming that it's all drabbanan, says Reb Nachman, that explains why you could use silk on silk. But if it's a d'oraisa, how could you use silk? Doesn't it say tzemer u'pishtim? Only tzemer u'pishtim? No, you're forgetting the beautiful drasha of Rava. Imishomaha, that's your problem. That doesn't prove anything, because that goes according to Rava, because Rava was the one who pointed out the whole idea of the difference between knaf and tzemer u'pishtim. Rava says, how is this not a contradiction? On the one hand, it says, knaf, which means that this is a continuation of the beged. So it has to be the min hakanaf, right? And on the other hand, it says tzemer pishtim, which implies that it's not the min hakanaf, and that it is dafka tzemer pishtim. So how do you explain that? Haketza, tzemer pishtim potrim ben b'minan ben shalom b'minan. You could use tzemer pishtim as the universal tzitziot on any type of baguette, not necessarily mixed, but you could use them, one or the other of them. Masha inkin, any other thing like cotton or silk, they do pater b'minam, but shalo b'minam, ein potrim, because they have to be at least min haknaf, so you have a choice. Min knaf, that explains finally why we're looking at the min knaf as sort of an extra. It's an extra in the context of tzemer pishtim, which are the givens. It offers an option in the case that it matches the knaf. Beautiful. So now everything makes sense. And now, according to Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman says, min knaf is not true. So how does he understand this? I mean, Reb Nachman says that there's no chiyuv at all midoraisa. So then how does he understand the whole point that Robert just actually showed us so beautifully? Showed us so beautifully. He says, actually, I go like Rabbi Yishmael. B'tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. Don't learn it out from the fact that it says tzemer u'pishtim here. We learn out the begadim. You're talking about the tzitzit. So you're claiming that, okay, there's a question over here. Min knaf means any knaf. The fact that it says tzemer u'pishtim over here only talks to me about the tzitzit. That's all very nice for you. I say that beged itself is defined in the Torah as tzemer u'pishtim, not only the tzitzit. Where? Aha! The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Look, it says in the Torah, Begadim, without defining. what that beggar is. Like here, when it comes to tzitzit, or like say in Tumas Begadin, right? So it's the beggar. Okay. Now there is one place, however, where the Torah talks about beggar, and that's in the din of Tzarat HaBeggar. And there it says beferish, bebeget semer, or bebeget pishtim. So since it tells me one of these cases by Tzaras beferish, it says, if there is bebeget, which beget? Bebeget semer or bebeget pishtim? So then that's coming to tell me a klal uprat. When I say beget, what do I mean? Beget semer or beget pishtim? That's a din in kol haTorah kula. Wherever the Torah uses the word beget, I have a mamatzino, and that is the Torah defined beget in one place, and that's the meaning of beget in all places. So therefore, akanfei bigdechem, what is that referring to? Omi begadim of tzemru pishtim. That's where I got it from the Tanit of Erev Yishmael, says Rav Nachman, according to which, if you've got a cotton beget, it is not chayev at all. That's the point. So afko tzemer upishtim, and there would be no chiv at all. Omer Abaye, that's fascinating, because this limud of the Tanit of Erev Yishmael seems to undo completely another brighter that I know from the Tanit of Erev Yishmael, and it goes like this. The Tanit of Erev Yishmael, beged, ein li ela beged tzemer. I would think that if the Torah says beged, now where is this beged? Rashi learns the beged that it's referring to over here is the beged that is mentioned legabei tzarat. The Gemara is darshaning the same parsha that the previous Tanit of Erev Yishmael darshaned, in which case there's no way that these two could actually agree. So we're darshaning that beged. Eini ela beged tzemer, so says this braita, which was also said in his Beis HaMedrash, and it seems the opposite of the previous understanding, beged, eini ela beged tzemer. So I would say, this would mean dafka a beged of tzemer, because that's what it says later on. Beged tzemer, beged pishtim, right? No, how about minayim l'rabot tzemer gemalim? So if you got camel wool, very popular material, tzemer arnavim, how about rabbit skin? Or notzer shalizim, how about a goat feather, so to speak? Notzer is a warm feather, it's obviously a hair, it's not really feather. Well, how about different types of silk? How about kalach, sirikin, or real silk, shirayin? How do you know that all those things are also included in the word beged? Talmud lomar, o beged. So since it says o beged, that shows that it's not limited to beged semra, beged pishtim. So Rashi understands this to be a reference to tzaras, which would mean that this standard of a Rabbi Shmuel holds that even by tzaras, we're marba other begadim, and that's why we're saying that this standard of Rabbi Shmuel is mafka from the other standard of a Rabbi Shmuel. But there's a big problem with Rashi's pshat, because it doesn't say, oh, beged, ha! What does it say? Oh, beveged, semer, oh, beveged, pishtim. So that means the Gemara is quoting the wrong pasuk. Now, if it says beged, so Tosfos says, well, obviously, never heard of anybody that says that saras is true on silk. This is not talking about saras. This is talking about tumas begadim, bichlal. So what does it say by tumas begadim? Well, it talks about a sheretz, kipol, kli eitz, o beged. Fine. So that o beged doesn't say beveged, o beged, and that's the pasuk that we're quoting, and that tells me any kind of beged is mekabel tuma, nothing to do with saras. Of course, saras is limited to beveged semer, beveged pishta. We're not docha the actual pasuk, are we? And therefore, if that's the case, they're not contradictory to each other. We're just simply pointing out over here that you shouldn't think, even though we just said af kol. We said before, the first bright of the Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel, every single case where it says beged, it's limited to beged semer, beged pishtim. This is saying, no, it's not true about every place. Because over here, where we're talking about tuma, the old beged is obviously marba, even though it's against what we just said. It's in this particular case, of course, it's true for tzarat. So now, I mean, in terms, lemaisa of the halacha, I mean, we really have a big, big difference in the Psak Halacha, because we have a big difference between the Rishonim, because we've got the Rosh on the one hand and the Rambam on the other hand, among the leaders of the Shitas, and the Ashkenazim, because of the Ramah, Paskin, like the Rosh, which he brings others, of course. Again, when I bring a Rishon, this means it's the only Rishon. We have also the Smag that says the same thing, and we have the Mordechai that says the same thing, that actually, Minatera, only Beget Zemra, Beget Pishtim. That's how the Ramah paskins. The Rambam, on the other hand, says Beferish. Any kind of Beget whatsoever. Ksur Chechayav Adam Lasot Batzitzit Minatera, Hu Ksur Cheyeshla Arba Knafayim Oyoter, and it has to be big enough for Kotan to walk out outside, and it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter, therefore, that Ksut. But Talit shall shar meaning, like Meshi, Big Day Tzemer Geffen, Big Day Tzemer Gemolim, and so on. So he holds that this was a Takona Drabonan, says the Rambam, that they are actually only Chayev Midarabana. Masha Inkin, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like this, In Chayev Mibetitz Minatora Ela Beget Pishna Mashal Tzemer. But the Ramah, I think I might have said it backwards before, but the Ramah Paskins Beferish, Kulu Chayev Midaraisa, this is the Yeshomrim, the Hochi Hilchasa. So that is going here, according to our Tosfos. He brings it from the Tosfos here in Menachas Taflamites, that is the Psak, and that there's no need to be limiting the Chiyuv as the Shulchan Aruch does. The Shulchan Aruch follows the approach of the Rambam, and the Ramah follows the approach of the Rosh and others. Okay, so it's a big question whether there is a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, not a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, which obviously makes a lot of nafkaminas in how we respond l'halacha in different cases. All right, so all of this is still leaving open the tremendous issue about where can you use the Tzemru Pishtim if it's not necessary. Is it limited the same way that a normal Esedoch Lotasa is limited, in which case that moots all of the discussion, much of the discussion that we had today about utilizing Tzemru Pishtim together in a Beged that is Chayev if you paskin like the Rosh, if you paskin like the Ramah, that is Chayev Midiraisa, could you actually use Kilayim in it? All of that seems to run against the way we usually understand the Esedoch Lo Sasa. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll have tomorrow, I hope,